All right, I'd like to ask you if you would open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. There is a Bible app event. You can scan that QR code. It'll take you right to the passage along with other passages we'll be reading today. Or you can use your paper Bible. That's great too. So, you know Peanuts, Charlie Brown and those guys. Which of those characters do you identify with the most? Somebody says Snoopy. Nobody says Lucy. I say Charlie Brown sometimes, Snoopy other times, and if I've been out working a lot, Pigpen at the end of the day, right? Yeah. There's one Charlie Brown cartoon where I feel like I'm Charlie's little sister, Sally. Charlie is sitting in front of the TV. You can see his side view. The TV's here, and he's looking at TV, and Sally's standing behind him, and she comes up. She says, "I hate everything. I hate the whole world." And Charlie doesn't turn around. He just keeps looking at the TV, and he says, "I thought you had inner peace." And she says to him, "I still have outer obnoxiousness." And I'm like, I think I feel that way. I think there's a little Sally in all of us, right? We want the peace of God. We want to have peace, but we tend to struggle with that. There are times I'll walk out the door, and I'm going to a meeting or something, and I'll look over my shoulder and I'll say, "Hey, Laurel, say a prayer for me. I am not fit to be around people." And I know she says to herself, "You ain't kidding. I'm so glad you're hitting that door." And those times that we don't have that inner peace, those times end up being days where we're filled with regret, where we feel like, man, I said or I did things I shouldn't have done, and I'm going to have a list of people to apologize to. We all struggle to have inner peace. Our passage today talks about the peace that we get from God. And it talks about how we can allow that peace to infiltrate our life and to grow in our hearts. So follow along as we read. I'm going to start with 4:1 and end at 9, and then we'll talk about it together. "Therefore," the Apostle Paul says, "my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side for the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." I want to kind of focus on a key verse here. It's verse 7. It's where he says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." And with that as a key verse, it kind of brings me to a key thought, that the peace of God is something that can be yours. And the passage bears that out. You can have peace, even peace, with others. We're not just talking about inner peace here. Paul is writing to a group of people, among whom are two women who have served with him in spreading the gospel. And these two women had such a big blow up that Paul heard about it 750 miles away in Rome. And his response is just very, very frank and very short to them. He just says in one sentence, "I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord." Don't you wonder what they were fighting about, what they were disagreeing about? Why were they so angry with one another? Well, according to the experts, no one knows. We don't know why they were doing that. But we do know is that God wanted them to let that go. He wanted them to drop it. There's no talk. Paul doesn't say, "I want to talk to Euodia and Syntyche, and I want to tell you who's right and who's wrong here." There's no talk of that. He just says, "Be of the same mind in the Lord and let it go." Now, Paul wouldn't ask them to do such a thing if that sort of thing were not possible. in the Christian family, we can agree in the Lord, we can be of the same mind, the mind of Christ, we can have peace with one another, you can have the peace of God. It can be yours. You can rise above your circumstances, whatever they are. Look again at verse 6. Look at those first five words there, six words. Do not be anxious about anything. Okay, when I read that, I think, you know, 5-10 years ago, I noticed that anxiety was a new depression. You know what I mean? Everyone says, I'm depressed 20 years ago. And now we all say, I have anxiety. It's just like a pandemic almost, an epidemic at least, right? And I think, Paul, you're so naive. Do not be anxious about anything. What are you out of your mind? How can you suggest that? Don't you know how hard it is to live? You must be writing in the first century, because if you knew what it was like in 2026, Paul, you would not have suggested such a thing. Well, before you set what he says aside there, I want to just list some things that Paul had gone through. He lists them in 2 Corinthians 11. In verse 24, he says, five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. You know, the thinking there was 40 lashes will kill you. We'll just give you 39, right? How many times have you received them? He had them five times. Three times, he says, I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day on the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in dangers from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles. In danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger in the sea, in danger of false believers. I've labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I know hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the pressure of my concern. Remember that word, we'll see it later. Of my concern for all the churches. Now, I don't want you to take from this, quit your whining. Look how bad Paul had it. What I want you to take from that is, Paul had gone through a lot of things that would cause a normal human being great anxiety. He probably has good stuff to say about how to handle that right here in our passage when he says, do not be anxious about anything. And one of the things that he's telling us when he says those words is the tail doesn't have to wag the dog, that your emotions do not have to rule your thinking and your behavior. We live in a society where so many people say, I just can't quit thinking that way, or I just can't drop that. I just can't let that go. But Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Pray about it. The peace of God is not something you'll never be able to get. It can be yours. You can choose what playlist runs in your mind. Now, I know I'm going to do this. The word playlist. Do you see it on the screen there? I can't tell you how many times I was practicing a sermon and I said playlist, like a prayer list. So if I say that, fix it in your head, okay? You can choose what playlist runs in your mind because we all have thoughts going through our head all the time. And the strangest things can trigger those thoughts. You can be in a coffee shop and all of a sudden remember something that happened 17 years ago, you know? You can just maybe you smell a fragrance like some flowers, and all of a sudden you're back at the funeral home where grandma was, and it just takes your mind back there. Or you can just look at someone, and the way they walk, you can say, that reminds me of so-and-so. And sometimes those can be positive experiences, but sometimes they can be negative experiences. And when those experiences, triggers, we'll use the word of the day, when those are in your life, sometimes that can move you toward anxiety. And you might begin to say, man, I just can't get that out of my head now. I wish I hadn't thought of that. But you can. You can get that out of your head because of Christ. Right after he speaks of making these requests to God, he says, and the peace of God, which just doesn't make sense. That's what he says. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's because it's a supernatural thing. That's why it doesn't make sense, but it's something that can belong to you. It's something that can belong to any of us. And we need to, when that playlist comes into our heart, into our mind, into our thoughts, we need to find a different playlist. Now, let me clarify something about this peace of God for a moment. Let me clarify something about anxiety. Everyone struggles with anxiety. I'm not saying that to say, oh, everyone struggles with it. Don't worry. That's not what I'm doing at all. I want you to know that everyone struggles with anxiety because I've talked to people who beat themselves up because they struggle with anxiety. And I've had many people say to me, you know what? The peace of God, they don't say it in these words, but this is what they're saying. The peace of God that guards hearts and minds isn't guarding my heart and mind, and so I must not be a very good Christian. Maybe I'm not a Christian at all. I'm just such a failure. The peace of God that passes understanding is something that always eludes me. I still struggle. Anyone who tells you they never struggle with anxiety has either lost their mind or they are lying. Even Paul struggled with it. The Apostle Paul, who says, do not be anxious about anything, was anxious about a lot of things, and he said so. He's talking to a church in Corinth. In 1 Corinthians 2:3, he says, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. That's anxiety. He says, when I made my trip to Corinth, I was filled with anxiety. He says the same thing about Macedonia. In 2 Corinthians 7:5, he says, when we came to you in Macedonia, we had no rest, but we were harassed at every turn. And then he says this, he says, conflicts on the outside and fears on the inside. What's fear on the inside? It's anxiety. Even the passage I read earlier, remember I said, remember that word concern. The 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, when he's listing all the things that he's dealt with through the years, he says, besides everything else, I face the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Let me talk to you about that word concern. The Greek word that he uses there is the same Greek word that he uses for anxious in our passage. So Paul, who's saying, do not be anxious about anything, is admitting that he himself has been anxious and is anxious from time to time. He's telling us not to be anxious while he freely admits, I struggle with anxiety. So let me just take one worry off your shoulders through that. You're not bad because you struggle to have peace. You're human. You're not a loser because you can't always grasp the peace of God like maybe you see the next person doing it. You're just somewhere in this journey of adopting the peace of God as your own. You're not immature, and if you could just grow up, you wouldn't be. No, none of that's accurate. You wouldn't say that to Paul, would you? Not at all. What you need to do is learn to receive the peace of God that transcends understanding and can guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And that kind of leads me to talk to you about some directives on receiving the peace of God. But before I talk about that, let me talk a little more about what this peace is. The peace of God that transcends understanding is not some contrived peace. It is not positive thinking. My apologies to Norman Vincent Peale. No one else knows what that means except those of us that are my age and older. It's not positive thinking. It's not denying reality. Not a Pollyanna kind of denial. It's not suppressing negative emotions. This is the peace of God, which means it is the peace that He enjoys. It's what Jesus was talking about giving us when He said in John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. We're talking about a supernatural peace that comes from a supernatural God that supernaturally enables us to overcome the difficulties of life that are common to humankind. The peace of God. It's a supernatural peace. Spirit-given. How do I get it? Well, let's talk about these three imperatives. You could call them three directives. You could call them three commands if you wanted to. And they're related to us being in the Lord. That phrase, in the Lord, appears like 8 times in Philippians. In the Lord, in the Lord, in the Lord. And so what it amounts to is this: this is for people who are trusting in Christ, who've been adopted into the Christian family, who are trusting that Christ died for their sins. And in response to that, they have turned away from their sin, and they're moving toward Him because they trust Him and love Him. These commands, these directives, are for us. And the first of them is this: rejoice. Decide to rejoice in the Lord. It's right there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And remember, he's not typing this on a computer keyboard. He's using a quill pen, and he takes the time to write it again. I would just put ditto, you know? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice, because this is so important. It's such an important directive if you want to have the peace of God. You need to rejoice in the Lord. And by the way, when he says always, he means make it your practice. Like, this is just something you do regularly. Make it part of your day and your routine. Set a reminder on your phone to remind you, are you rejoicing? You know, I have an app on my phone. I use it for something different. But the guy that wrote it, he wrote it to make him remember to get a drink of water. And when I'm in the desert overseas, I have a watch that I have beep me every 2 hours to remind me to drink a glass of water. I'll get dehydrated otherwise. You might need to put that on your watch or on your phone or whatever to remind you to rejoice in the Lord. Because it always means to make this your routine, make it your practice. Look at the good things God places in your path, God places in your life, and find joy in those things and celebrate them. Talk about them with Him. Talk about them with your friends. Talk about them, the good things that God does for you. Talk about them with yourself. Rejoice. And by the way, rejoicing is something we do quite naturally. We rejoice when our team wins, right? How about them Pirates? Can we rejoice in this season? I can't remember, right? Hey, by the way, did you know that the Dallas Cowboys, the time that has taken them, the time since their last Super Bowl, that last Super Bowl is closer in time to the moon landing than it is to us today. Doesn't that feel good? That just feels good. That has nothing to do with the sermon. Let me go back, okay? Rejoicing is something we do naturally. It's something we do when our team wins. It's something we do when we get a day off. It's something we do when, wow, there's a snow day and you're a kid in school. It's something you do when you can afford a good vacation. It's a natural thing to do in those instances. But rejoicing in the Lord is something you need to do intentionally. It's something that at first it doesn't come out automatically. And so you really need to decide. There's the verb in the opening point. Decide to rejoice. I shared something a few weeks ago on Tuesday morning with the Tuesday morning group. Actually, it was probably a couple months ago. And just the past couple weeks, one of the guys brought it up again and said, "That's such a good idea." I call it the Jeff Spade technique of rejoicing. Okay, Jeff worked for the water company for a number of years. And every morning he got up really early and went upstairs and turned on the faucets up at the water plant so you can get a shower in the morning. He didn't do that, but, you know, he made sure the water was working. And he didn't get up early and do what a lot of people would do. Man, I can't stand getting up this early and going up this road. The same old piece of highway over and over again. That's the wrong playlist. What he did is when he got up in the morning, he said this. It was such a healthy playlist. He developed this habit of, if a bird, a sparrow, whew, swept across in front of him and he was like, "Whoa, look at that bird," he would say out loud, "Thank you, God, for putting that bird in front of me." And when he come around the corner and there's the sunrise coming, he didn't go, "Oh man, it's so bright I can hardly see." You know, that's the wrong playlist. He would say, "Wow, the heavens declare the glory of God. What a beautiful, beautiful thing that sunrise is." He's rejoicing in the Lord. And again, I'll say it, he's rejoicing in the Lord. And when you begin to do that, when you make that decision, begin to implement it, you find something happening in your heart. Let me tell you, start rejoicing like Jeff rejoices in the Lord tomorrow. By tomorrow afternoon, you're not going to be a different person. But as you make this your practice, that's the subpoint number 1 on the screen, make it your practice, you're going to find something happening in your heart. You're going to find a peace that transcends understanding, the peace of God beginning to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do you want more of God's peace? Make rejoicing more a part of your routine. Let me give you the second directive. The first, decide to rejoice in the Lord. The second, be reasonable, gentle. Look at verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Now, you're saying, well, why do you say be reasonable, be gentle? Bible scholar Gordon Fee points out that the meaning of the word gentleness is really hard to pin down in the Greek. And the ESV bears that truth out because it chooses a different word. I'll put that on the screen. It says, let your reasonableness be known to all. You can understand why the NIV didn't put reasonableness. It has too many syllables and it sounds awkward, right? But that word means be reasonable and be gentle. If you're not gentle, if you're not reasonable, the peace of God will elude you. So just think about your interactions with the world around you, because he says, evident to all. What do people see when they look at you? And the things that they see that you don't want them to see, work through the power of the Holy Spirit to transition those. When they see you, you're not a hothead. You're choosing to remain calm. You're not the kind of person who's easily offended. You're a forgiving person. You're not combative. You're a peacemaker. You're not irrational. You're level-headed. You're not unforgiving and grudge-holding. You're understanding. Be known as a guy that people know they can go and talk to, and you'll be calm in your response and work to speak to them reasonably and gently and peaceably. Be known as a woman who brings rational perspective to an otherwise chaotic situation that could end in conflict. Be a peacemaker. If you want to increase in the peace of God, ask him to help you be reasonable, to be gentle. Ask his Holy Spirit to do that. And the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a third directive. Develop a new playlist to replace the old one. We all have a playlist playing in our head. When we remember a time that someone did us wrong, we replay that event. And if we're not careful, we replay that event again and again and again and again. When I cut my grass, I still have them, I don't use them anymore, noise-canceling headphones, and I would listen to sermons or podcasts. One of the reasons I did that was because the emptiness of the quietness of cutting the grass, it's not quiet because of the mower, but you understand what I mean, no input coming in, things played in my mind that I didn't like, and they were often related to when people done me wrong, you know? And I quit using the headphones, and I allowed the aloneness to occur because I felt I have got to figure out a different way to handle that than to block it out with sermons and music, right? I want to be able to control my emotions, not be controlled by them. I want to be able to have a new playlist to replace the old one. And by God's grace, I was able to do that. I don't even know where those headphones are now. But I have to think about it before I get on the mower. You understand? Because for me, the default is to whine. For me, the default playlist is the blues. For most of us, it's a list of woes. It's how we have received this pain, how we were hurt by someone, and how we're going to pay them back. That little fantasy, if I ever get that chance. I think of George Costanza and a plate of shrimp, right? Everyone has that kind of playlist. I kind of wonder if there was a woeful playlist that was playing in the hearts of Yodia and Syntyche. I plead with Yodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. I don't know, did they have a disagreement that they just couldn't stop thinking about? One of them was unwilling to change the playlist. And when Paul asked that unnamed assistant to help them, was he asking them, help them stop reciting the litany in their mind? Help them get a new playlist? I don't know. But in any case, in this passage, Paul gives you the ingredients for a playlist. He kind of defines what our playlist should look like. It's in verse 8. He says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true. Okay, pause. That's an ingredient on a playlist. So what is true? And not like, what is true? She didn't even look at me when I walked into the room. Nah, not that true. But rather, whatever is true, believe in the truth of God's love. Believe in the power of his presence, his ability to transform you and heal you. Stop believing the lies that you just can't get this out of your head. Believe whatever is true. Whatever is noble. Stop dwelling on dishonorable thoughts and in dishonorable behavior. That would include thoughts of revenge. Stop thinking about that. And let your mind's playlist sing your heart, sing to your heart of men and women of honor and good report. Whatever is right. Well, there are people in my life who have done the wrong thing and they've gotten away with it. You have those people in your life? Well, that's not right. Don't dwell on that. He said to dwell on whatever was right. You kind of need to catch your thought process. I don't remember who it was. It was these two magician comedian guys. I don't remember who that was. But anyway, one of them shot the other one and broke a piece of glass and he caught the bullet in his teeth. Anybody see that? Google that stuff, man. That's amazing. I still can't figure out how they pulled that off. You know, he didn't really catch a bullet, but that was the magic trick, right? Yeah. That's what you need to do with those thoughts. You need to catch those things in midair. You need to catch the thought process before it begins to replay in your mind. You need to do what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5 when he says, we take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. And focus on times when right has prevailed. And you can process the rest of verse 8. I'm not going to go through that with you, but look at what he says. Whatever is pure, what does that mean? Whatever is lovely, what does that mean? Whatever is admirable. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Let me give you some real life examples of my own playlist that I found to be healthy for me. And then you build your own. I want to tell you who is on my playlist. You can guess one of them. His name is Jesus, right? He has to be on your playlist. You can't leave him off. Whatever is true, for crying out loud, he's the truth. Whatever is noble, can you think of anything more noble than laying down a life for your friend? Whatever is right, he was never wrong. Whatever is pure, admirable, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy. So think about Christ. And by the way I do that is I read about him. I read about him in his four biographies, his four gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And I pause and I look and I say, wow, you were so cool, Jesus. You are so awesome. You are so noble. You are so admirable. You are so excellent. And so I think about him. I put him on my playlist. And that's why one of the reasons we sing songs. The reasons we sing songs about Jesus is first to give him praise, to give him glory. But that gets into your head, that song does. I got a new phone. It has an alarm tone. The song gets in my head and I can't get it out all day. That's a bad playlist. The playlist I want is Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nation, O thou of God and man, are you know that? That's the playlist that I want. So number one, put Jesus on your playlist. Number two, here's another person on my playlist, Janine Bowman. I wonder how many remember her. Put your hand up if you remember her. Don't you wish you had the guts to wear the hats that woman wore? Yeah, she had a hat collection for sure. Yeah. She sat right about there. She was one of the most faithful attenders that you would ever have seen in your life. She sat there and she was pretty deaf. And she would read my lips. And can you imagine? Of all the great excuses not to go to church, I'm deaf. That would be a good one, right? She's on my playlist because of her faithfulness and because she was a woman of prayer. Do you know the story about when she moved the rock? She moved mountains with her prayers. Right here where this building is, there was a rock that wouldn't move. Remind me, I'll tell you about that sometime. Let me give you a third one that's on my prayer list. My dad and my mom. Yeah. They walked a life of faith. I didn't have the emotional strength to do my dad's funeral, and I always said I would. But I knew I'd just blubber like a baby, so I didn't do it. When it came time that my mom died, I'd grown a little more, I guess. And I did both her funerals at once. I said, I'm going to eulogize Glenn and Mary Shields because I didn't eulogize my dad before. And I titled the funeral, People of Grace. I can remember, I'm probably 9 years old. I'm downstairs on Saturday night with mom. Dad's watched Lawrence Welk, and he's watched Archie Bunker. And there's something else after that. I don't remember what it was. And now at 9 o'clock, Mary Tyler Moore shows on. And so mom and I are watching that together. And dad, he gets up to go upstairs. And the reason he got up to go upstairs wasn't that he didn't like the Mary Tyler Moore Show. It was because it was Saturday night. And I can remember going up to bed at about 10 o'clock and get to the top of the steps, turn left to go to my room. His room is right there. Dad and Mom's room's right there. You can see my dad. And he's laying in bed under the covers with his light on beside him with his Sunday school quarterly in his hand because he taught the adult Sunday school class that met in the sanctuary all my life. I mean, until he died, until he could no longer do it, he did that so faithfully. Dad and Mom are on my playlist. It's good to have people like that on your playlist. Let me give you one more. You are on my playlist. Did you catch what he says in the first verse? Is that where he says it? Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. Wow. If that is not a pastor talking about Kerwinsville Alliance Church, I don't know what is, right? I think of that, you guys, and your faithfulness to be here at an early service, and you're prioritizing church. There are other things you could be doing today, but here you are. Your faithfulness and making time to learn from God's word. You know, one of my favorite things to see when I say, and look at verse 17, and your head goes down. That's why, in fact, it just did. I saw a couple of you do it when I said it. Because I know you're engaged with the Word of God, and that is a great melody to play on my playlist. The way you encourage one another, the way you give sacrificially. Do the math and think of the money that it takes to sustain a ministry like this. And I know you're not giving casually, like, here's 20 bucks. I know. You're giving sacrificially. And that kind of heart of faithfulness and consistency and hunger for God and looking into His Word, that plays beautifully on my playlist. You guys are a great playlist. Playlists like that are what you should be listening to when you're on your lawnmower. That's what should be running through your head when you're at work or when you're just sitting around in the evening having an iced tea or whatever. Because playlists like that, they open your heart to receive the peace of God that transcends all understandings. Choose your playlist carefully. Think on such things. The reality is, all of this is received through prayer. All of this is received through prayer. Do not be anxious about anything, he says, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So this whole thing of receiving the peace of God, it isn't you figuring out how to be at peace. It is you trusting God to care for what you thought you needed to care for. It's a big difference. So when you pray, you can say things like this. You would say, God, I rejoice in you. I rejoice in the playlist that you've given me that I am intentionally running through my mind. And I give you these things that want to cause me anxiety and stress, and I trust you to care for the things outside of my control. What a beautiful prayer. You're trusting God to care for things that you thought that you had to care for, and you felt your blood pressure go up as you thought of them. It's not a matter of figuring out how to be at peace. It's not a matter of rising above your circumstances. It is a matter of God giving you peace to rest in all your circumstances. You know, there's a scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5, contains the thought, pray without ceasing. And for years, I always thought of that as a commandment to pray 24/7, you know. I'm in a spirit of prayer, you know, and I've failed miserably at that. Today, I look at that passage and I think it's just a simple warning about not neglecting spending time with God. Pray without ceasing. Brush your teeth without ceasing. Don't neglect to spend time brushing your teeth. Don't neglect to spend time in prayer with God. We need time to be alone with Him. That's what prayer is. I feel like there's something valuable. It's going to sound weird when I say a sentence, but stay with me. I feel there's something valuable about praying and then just stopping praying about that thing. There's something valuable about praying and then leaving that thing with God. Not stopping forever, you understand, but just leaving that thing with God. Stop the, what does Jesus say before he tells the Lord's Prayer? The vain babbling. Stop feeling like you might be heard if you pray hard enough for your many words. Know that your Father knows what you need before you ask Him, and then just trust Him. And that brings peace. So it's clearly not rising above your circumstances, but rather it is lifting your prayers to God and knowing that He is above your circumstances, and He offers you a peace that transcends understanding. And then just take that and leave that with Him. Oh, and it's not really choosing a better prayer list. It's actually God healing your heart and your mind as you fill your life with the truth of His love and surrender to Him. So that whatever is true and whatever is noble, whatever is right and whatever is pure and whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, that's what enters your heart, because He is speaking to your heart. And He does that. He gives you a peace that transcends understanding. Remember Sally Brown, Charlie's little sister? Bet you never thought you'd hear your pastor say, "I kind of identify with Sally Brown. Man, I hate everything. I hate the whole world. Nothing's working right in my life. This really stinks. I hate having to get up this early and go to the water plant," you know? All of those wrong playlists, right? That's the girl that's not standing in line for the peace of God, is she? I don't want to be her. You don't want to be her. I want to be one whose gentleness is known to all because the peace of God reigns in my heart. I want to pray that you and I could all, each, be that person. So let's stand together and we'll pray. God, we're thankful for your word and the way it speaks to our hearts. I pray, Father, that we would repent, literally repent, of entertaining the wrong kinds of thoughts in our head. Thoughts of bitterness, anger, disappointment. Thoughts that just mull over negative, bad things and make them the center of our attention. It's no wonder we struggle to have peace. We repent of that, God, and we choose to allow your goodness to fill our lives. And we rest in your goodness. We trust in you completely. And may we look at the good things you've given us, and may that change our hearts. May it begin to form within us the peace of God that transcends all understanding. And may it guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.